This is Billy Brim, the voice of One Witness radio broadcast, coming to you from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And I am giving you a witness today, a witness of what I've seen standing on the border of Israel, looking right over into Lebanon. Something very shaking happened as far as Lebanon is concerned in July. Just a few days ago, it was preceded by a happening in January. Now, Jesus told us to watch the fig tree, that's Israel, and all the other trees of Bible prophecy. He told us to watch them to see when he's coming to set up his kingdom. We're looking today at Lebanon. The Bible speaks of Lebanon from Deuteronomy. The Lord said to them, every place, 11:24, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. That's before they ever went into the promised land in the first place. That's Moses prophesying. Now here's Zechariah prophesying about when they come back after the ingathering. Zechariah 10:10, I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt and gather them out of Assyria. And I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon. The place shall not be found for them. In other words, so many Jews he's going to bring home to Israel that there won't be room for them. And for the first time, folks, just this very year, actually it happened at the end of last year that they counted it, more Jews live in Israel than live in the diaspora or the diaspora. More Jews live inside the land of Israel than live outside the land of Israel. More Jews live in Tel Aviv than live in New York City. Oh, this is a big thing in the light of Bible prophecy. This is a big signpost when for the first time more Jews are in Israel. We are also watching other things, and we've watched all the upheaval in the Middle East in what has been known as the Arab Spring. The Arab Spring has happened in all the upheavals around in Tunisia, in Egypt. You've been keeping up with it. But we want to look today particularly at Lebanon because I want to give you a witness from there. Lebanon was the home of the Phoenicians in ancient history from 3000 BC to 539 BC. And in current history, Lebanon as we know it today came into being at the end of World War I. It started to wake back up. It started to come back. You know, the Jews had gone out of Israel. And when they went out of Israel, Israel became a wasteland, but also the whole of the Middle East became a wasteland. And it was so, particularly under the Ottoman Empire of 400 years. It was just like sleepy and not a major factor in the headline news. But that all changed with two things. Number one, World War I and the defeat of the Ottoman Empire. And number two, the discovery of oil. Two things woke it up. The first was World War I. World War I. The Ottomans went into the war against the Allies. They aligned with Germany. And when the Allies defeated Germany, then the French and the British divided up the Middle East as we know it. They took rulers. They drew lines on paper. They made the countries that we know today. The French received what's known as Lebanon. And they expanded the borders of Mount Lebanon, which was mostly populated by Maronite Catholics and Druze, to include more Muslims. They increased the size of the country and drew into its borders Muslims. Lebanon gained independence from France in 1943 and established a unique political system known as confessionalism, a power-sharing mechanism based on religious communities. Now, Lebanon was a democracy of sorts. It worked very well. It was a beautiful country for a while under this. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But I'm going to tell you what happened to it that made it become a what it is today and not so beautiful country. Before the Lebanon Civil War, the country was a beautiful country. In its heyday, it was known as the Switzerland of the East. It attracted large numbers of tourists, and the capital of Beirut was referred to as Paris of the Middle East. Something changed all that. And what I'm going to tell you about how it changed, I learned primarily, of course, I can read in books and But I learned this from standing year after year after year after year at kibbutz Miskav Am in the extreme northern part of Israel. This is in what is known as the Finger of Israel. It's like an extended finger. If you look on a map, Israel juts up into Lebanon and Syria. For 20 years or so, I've gone to this spot every year, more than once usually. And this is not what is known as the Good Fence, but this is a place where one can literally stand on the side of a mountain in Israel, and within a stone's throw is the border between Lebanon and Israel. I'm asking that photos of our standing there and photos of the place be posted online at billybrim.org under the heading Photos at Miskav Am. That's M-I-S-G-A-V space A-M. You can go on there and you can look into what I'm talking to you about today. From our spot, looking toward the Mediterranean, we can see ancient Tyre and Sidon, but we can look directly down into the village of Iadesa. And we can look to our right, not far away, to villages and to the left that were formed according to their religions. In other words, the Christians had a village. The Alawite sect of Islam had a village. The Druze have a village. Other sects of Islam have villages. To the right, one of the villages that so interested us is Marjayun, formerly a Christian village. I brought my children up in Collinsville, Oklahoma, and there we had the Bayouth store where my husband used to love to shop. And Saul Bayouth, who was the patriarch of the family, had come from Lebanon. And the Bayouths opened stores in Collinsville, Sepulpa, other Tulsa area towns. And if I recall correctly, because Betty Oakes, the lady who helped me so much, was related by marriage to the Bayouth family. And if I recall correctly, Saul Bayouth came to America, well, I know this, where he prospered in the retail business. But this is what Betty told me. He sent money back to Marjayun to build a church. So there's a real connection there between Collinsville, Oklahoma, and Marjayun. And then if you've heard of Brigitte Gabriel, she's often on Fox News and speaks from her heart in support of Israel and against terrorism. You can read her story in her book, Because They Hate. Brigitte is Arab, Arab Christian, and she grew up in Marjayun. Well, that once Christian village of Marjayun, like all the other villages that we can see from standing in our spot, is now an armed camp of the Hezbollah. Hezbollah has taken over. They have taken over every village. Most of the Christians are gone. They got out of there for their lives. They have taken over and they are entrenched in southern Lebanon. Southern Lebanon has become Hezbollah armed camp territory. How did it happen? September 1970 is known as the Black September in Arab history. It was a month when Jordan's Hashemite king, Hussein, moved to quash the militancy of Palestinian organizations. The PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO, organized by Yasser Arafat, moved its people to overthrow the Hashemite King Hussein of Jordan. King Hussein put down the uprising and ordered thousands shot. There are varying reports from 7,000 to 20,000. Who had the count? We don't know. But that many people were shot by King Hussein's armies. I believe they were under the leadership of his brother. King Hussein ordered them shot and ordered the PLO expelled out of Jordan. The PLO, Yasser Arafat, and thousands of terrorists then went to Lebanon. There, in Lebanon, which had known prosperity, tourism, agriculture, banking, because of its financial power and diversity, Lebanon was known in its heyday as the Switzerland of the East, as I told you. It attracted large numbers of tourists, such that the capital, Beirut, was referred to as Paris of the Middle East. But when Yasser Arafat and his PLO terrorists arrived there and moved to the south, they have caused trouble since they came. They caused an uprising against the form of government that Lebanon was knowing. Remember, we told you that it was a unique kind of democracy and that the office you could hold was based on your religion. And so the Christians were always the president, and they led it in a very good and well-educated and good and prosperous manner. But when the PLO got there, even some of the groups that they were not like in their own religion, they said to them, "This isn't fair. Why are you doing this? Why can't you be the president?" And a civil war, a terrible civil war, a civil war that literally tore up Lebanon ensued. The chaos since the war has resulted in the Hezbollah taking over the once quiet villages of southern Lebanon. As we have stood there at Misgavam already two times this year, we look into Iadessa at what appear to be homes, large homes, well-built homes, but we never see people. People do live in them. Hezbollah soldiers inhabit them. But there are no windows in the buildings, for from and through these windows, missiles and rockets can be fired into Israel. Behind some of the homes, large rooms and tunnels are burrowed into the mountainside. Here, huge weaponries are stored are capable of reaching deep into Israel. The Hezbollah, the Party of God, is a Shia Muslim militant terrorist group. They, unlike the Hamas, are a well-organized military based in Lebanon. They are financed and supported primarily by Iran and also by Syria. Now, tomorrow, we're going to begin with by telling you of the two notable events that have happened in Lebanon this very year. Upheaval in the Middle East. We're going to be talking about living in the light of Bible prophecy in the last days at a school, a special school I'm going to teach myself personally, August 8th, Monday through the 11th, right here on Prayer Mountain. It'll be a classroom setting. I'll teach from 9 till about noon. We'll have lunch, and then I'll teach, after lunch until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll look specifically at what the Bible says about the times we're living in and about upcoming events in the light of Bible prophecy. This is my favorite teaching setting, and I'd like you to come, but we can only accommodate about 150 in here. So call today if you'd like to sit in the classroom with me. We'll have books, we'll have workbooks. But we are making arrangements for this class to be taken online. There's a fee involved, and you will need an access code to take it with us as it streams live, or it will be archived that you can take it at night if you want to. But you will have to have the access code. And so I am trusting that you'll be able to join with us because I really like to do this. We're out here on a prayer mountain. We're kind of hidden, we can really look at things in the light of Bible prophecy. So call us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447, or go online to billybrim.org. And I hope you can go online and look at the Misgavam photos before tomorrow when we tell you what we want to tell you about what has happened in the Arab Spring in Lebanon. This is Billy Brim saying shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.